Exodus 12, starting in verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household is too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Well, you know that Pastor picks his songs to go with his message, and he picks the scripture reading to go with his message. And so all that being picked already on before he left, actually, in an email, I looked at that, and I looked at some notes that I had from when I was teaching Sunday school. And those of you that were in my Sunday school class, when I taught through, I taught about the gospel and basics of the gospel. And as I looked at the scripture reading that Tad had and looked at those songs, I was challenged with a series of thoughts about what the gospel does in regards to our sin. And Pastor's been preaching through the gospel, and he may come back and use the same songs next week and use the same scripture reading for his message. But the message this morning that I want to challenge us with is the gospel exposes my sin. And when the gospel exposes my sin, some things happen. All right, and I want to talk about those things that happen as the gospel exposes our sin. And so I'd like you to go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. That's where we're going to start. Romans chapter 7. And in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is sharing his testimony. And I want to jump down to verse number 15 in Romans chapter 7. And if you are there, Romans 7, verse 15. Before we read that, I want to pray and just ask God to meet with us and teach us from His Word. So, Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the folks that are here this morning to hear from Your Word. I pray that You would teach us, and that Your Spirit would in each person's heart right now just formulate the things you want them to learn from these passages. And we just praise you that your Spirit is here with us and as believers will influence us and work in our lives so that we do understand you better, God. And we just ask for that now in your name. Amen. In chapter 15, or in chapter 7, verse 15 of Romans, let's look there now and I'll read, you follow along. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So the first thing that we see here as I take you to this passage in Romans is Paul's testimony of what the gospel does in exposing his sin. And his testimony is revealed here as he goes through and shares in this passage, and the struggle that is there, the struggle that's in his own life. He says there in the verses, if you go to verse 19, it says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." And he's in a struggle. And the gospel exposes that and the sin struggle that's going on. And, you know, if we were to rate saints, if I was to rate them and say, okay, Paul, you know, would you consider him a strong Christian? Could we rate him up pretty high? And most of you would agree with me that Paul was someone that we could look up to and emulate. He was a follower of Christ who was just up there, you know, and we could look to him. And then we see him say here in this verse that, you know, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. And the struggle with sin. And he talks about, as he goes on here, that he has this struggle. I do what I don't want to do. And then in verse 23 there, it says, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And he's talking there about being a prisoner to that law of sin that besets. And you know, the gospel exposes our sin, and there is a struggle there. There's a constant struggle, and that's the exciting part about what we're talking about today. Because as we are confronted with our sin, we need to realize that it has been taken care of on the cross. Jesus' blood. That was the picture of Passover. Tad read for us the account there in Exodus and what the Israelites were to do. And they were to put the blood over the door and then on the doorpost to signify the fact that they were in obedience to God. And because of that blood, the death angel passed over them. And because of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ and Him coming and dying on a cross and shedding His blood, Christian, this morning, your sin is covered. It's still there and there's still that struggle, but it's covered. And Paul here is giving that testimony. I struggle with this. And look at verse 24. It says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The misery of sin and death that sin brings. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through whom? Through Jesus Christ. That blood. And Paul here is giving the testimony of being just acknowledging in his testimony that the sin there that he struggles against. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul calls himself the chief of what? Okay? I want you to think about that a minute. He calls himself the chief or the chiefest of sinners. Okay? The head. The main sinner. Paul refers to himself as that. The foremost sinner of all. And he's just reminding here as he writes in Romans that there is this struggle with sin, but look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's saying that there's victory through Christ over sin. And he shares that testimony. It's interesting too that as we comprehend our sin, it leads us to the confession of our sin. You know, sometimes we don't realize that there's something going on. And we don't realize what the struggle is at that time. And then when it's revealed to us, we make it right. So yesterday, a gentleman from Wisconsin called me. He'd been to camp. He'd come out with a work group and worked at camp. And while he was at camp, some things went on, and I talked with him about them. And he responded in a compliant way, but he was not happy about that. And he went back with his church and was there in Wisconsin. And 2 months after he was at camp, he actually accepted Christ. And then last week he got baptized. And this week he called me and he said, you know, you talked to me at Red Cliff Bible Camp about this, and I didn't respond right because I didn't know the Lord Jesus. And now I know the Lord Jesus, and I comprehend what I did and how my response was, and I want to ask you as a brother in Christ to forgive me. And, you know, I'm shocked, folks. This was yesterday. I'm on the phone. I'm like, you know, and I'm thinking through my mind, okay, who is this? Okay, I know who this is now because we have lots of work groups come and we have lots of people and I've talked to lots of people. And so then at that point I was like, well, I forgive you. And I rejoice at what God's done in your life. And that you've come to Christ and that you've comprehended your sin. And you've confessed your sin, and as God has, through His Word, challenged your heart, you're going back and making those things right. And that's the idea here, that as we comprehend this, it leads us to confess, to get it right before God, because God is the one who covers it all. You know, consider the manner and necessity of Christ's death, and the love and selflessness that it displayed. Okay? Consider the manner and necessity of Christ's death. Christ died for you, Christian. And as He died for you, and that His blood makes it available for us to live sin free, free from the guilt, free from the bondage, it leads us to confess that sin. You know, the death Christ endured for me would only be required of one who is exceedingly sinful and unable to appease a holy God. That quote is from Milton Vincent. The death Christ endured for me would only be required of one who is exceedingly sinful and unable to appease a holy God. That's where we're at. And so as the gospel shines on our life, we realize where we're at, what our struggle is, as Paul said in his testimony. And then we comprehend that we need to deal with this sin, confess it. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, Hebrews 4:13 talks about being laid bare and exposed for the sinner I am. And, you know, I remember when my kids were little, we would play hide and seek. And they would hide their heads, but we'd see the rest of their body, okay? And they always felt like they were hidden. And some of you were laughing because you were that same kid, and you would say, I'm hidden, you can't see me, okay? But God sees it all. And so your sin is not hidden from Him. And as Paul talks about the struggle with sin, and as you comprehend that need, it's laid bare before God. But Christian, rejoice, it's covered by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ and His death. And then, as you're made aware of your sin, you know what it should lead to? It should lead to an appreciation of God's forgiveness. Have you ever appreciated somebody for something they did for you? Well, we should have that same appreciation as a Christian for what God did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, in His death and dying for us, so that as we see our sin, we appreciate God's forgiveness. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, there's a story here that we want to look at together. It starts in verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And you follow along as I read. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at a Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I told you that our awareness of our sin should lead to an appreciation of God's forgiveness of that sin. And we see an example here in this woman who in verse 37 it says she was a sinner. And then it goes through the passage and talks about what she did to Jesus and at his feet weeping, washing. In verse 38 it talks there about her washing his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. And just showing that appreciation. It's interesting too then, because Jesus uses this opportunity to challenge the Pharisee. The Pharisee right away is criticizing because this woman's a sinner, and Jesus shouldn't be allowing her to touch him. And Jesus reminds him then of this parable. And we see the parable there of the creditors and the debtors. The contrast is made from the one that owes much and the one that owes little. And then he asks Simon, which one of these is going to love the creditor the most? And Simon answered in verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. So he shares that parable and then challenges Simon with which will love more. And he says the one that is forgave the most. And what's interesting to me in this is that when we really appreciate what God has done by forgiving us, we know who we are. So it leads us to true worship, really worshiping Him for who He is. We know where we're at, and we're like, God did this for me. And the woman's example there of love because of forgiveness. And Jesus actually says to her, thy sins are forgiven. And then they wonder about that. And then it talks there about thy faith in verse 50. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. The woman's example of love because of the forgiveness that she's experienced in her own life because of Jesus Christ. And so as you're here this morning, and as we look at this passage, as we comprehend and are being made aware of our sin, you know, we can really be transparent in our relationship with God because He knows our sin and He knows where we're at. And as we acknowledge and appreciate Him for the forgiveness He gives, we worship Him with the right spirit. What's a couple things about her worship? A couple things about her worship that I want you to focus on. One is, okay, she was moved in her worship of God. Okay? She was at His feet. She humbled herself at His feet. Okay? It was costly to her. We can talk about the ointment and the fact that she used that. That cost her something. But I just think of the humility that she experienced in the presence of those others, using her tears to wet the feet and then using her own hair to dry the feet and to wash them. And, you know, I look at that and I realize, wow, that was true worship on her part. True desire to show her worship to God for what He had done for her. And then as He talks to the Pharisee, and He gives the account again in verse 44, look there, it says, He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And so as you think about what the gospel does regarding your sin and how you deal with your sin, Paul's testimony to us, it's going to be a struggle. I'm the chiefest of sinners, so that we all would line up behind Paul, but we'd all have to say, yes, we struggle with sin. And as we comprehend our sin, it leads us to a confession of that sin because we realize that the death of Christ is sufficient. And His death shows the love and selflessness that He has for us. And then this awareness of our sin should lead to an appreciation of the fact that you're forgiven today. And as we're here this morning, and we see this example of this woman and her showing her appreciation for that, I want you to be challenged with this, and we're done. As you go through this next week, I want you to think about how you can show your appreciation to your God for what He has done in your life. And maybe you're here this morning and God's never done anything in your life. And I want you to be challenged this morning that Jesus Christ died for you, and He died so that you can have victory over this sin. The sin that would destroy your life, that will lead to death. And He offers to you this morning eternal life so you can be different. So you can be as this woman and humble yourself before Him and accept His forgiveness. And we don't need to lose sight of that. We need to be reminded of that. So Christian, as you look at the week ahead, and as you live your life this week, how are you showing your appreciation to God for the forgiveness? You know, some simple things are just spending time with Him. He wants your time. Oh, so many times we don't give Him the time that He deserves or would like to have. But He wants that from us, and He desires that. So as you think about the gospel this week, I just ask you to think about what He has done for you and think about ways that you can show your appreciation to Him for what He has done for you. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity to learn. God, help us to realize that our sin is real and that we need Your help to overcome. And God, help us to really truly be appreciative of what You have wrought in our lives. And we ask that You would just make us mindful of that through the week. In Your name we pray. Amen.